Welcome to the Exhaust Notes podcast.
What is good, everyone? Welcome to the Exhaust Notes Formula One podcast. We're back in your feed for the first time in quite a while. And honestly, we might just dip out on you once again right after this episode. But we figured new season, lots to talk about. New cars, new engines, new teams. There's literally everything new. Even a new streamer. Streamer? You call it a streamer? I don't know. Guys, how you been?
My name's Rowett. You can find me on LinkedIn at the Bangalore Bang Bus. Crap. It's been a minute. I did the thing I was supposed to. My bad, guys. I'm rusty.
Oh, man. It's good to have those puns back. Yeah. No, it would have been good. I think we just left off summer break and we're ready to get back to it. Oh, wait. Okay. We missed the rest of the season.
I think it's poetic justice that the thing you two wanted most in life was a McLaren title win and a McLaren driver win, and we stopped recording before you could even capitalize on it.
I mean, we were too invested. We couldn't even focus on... Yeah,
I get it. You didn't want to jinx it, but I mean, yeah. I also thought this was Todd's way of protesting the Formula One movie, which happens to be one of the Bauhotra's favorite movies of the last year, so we can do that as well.
Well, I didn't watch it yet.
Really?
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 Oh.
Can we do an episode where we just do a watch-long with you?
A live watch of the Formula One movie?
Yeah.
I think that'd make a great YouTube video. You just watch it, and it's just your face the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's just reacting to it.
I could do that.
We'll take the sound off so they don't hit us with, like, a copyright, but it's just you watching the video. Because I want to see what you think of when you hear Plan C is for combat.
I forgot. Yeah.
So I think this episode's going to be a lot of everything, but we'll definitely get some hot takes in towards the end of the show, because I feel like Rowett has been like stacking up hot takes. He's probably got some hot takes from last season that he still wants to throw out just for sake of ruffling feathers.
I stopped watching Formula One because we stopped doing episodes, because I realized it's not my love of the sport. It's my love of my two co-hosts that kept me going.
Wow. Are you aware that Lando won? Like, let's just...
Lando Norris? The financier?
The financier.
Sorry, guys. If you're expecting somewhat of a serious episode from me, no. I got to give these jokes off because it's been a minute. I haven't seen my guys in a while. And if there's nothing else that you as a listener can ascertain from me as a persona on various podcasts, is I'm just there to break my co-hosts and make them giggle at inappropriate things.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, it is. Maybe that's why it didn't feel real that Lando won. Like, I didn't feel like... I just didn't have Rhodes puns to back up the actual feat that we'd waited so long for.
We got to toe the company line. That was my worst pun of the episode, but that's okay. You got to establish the barometer somewhere. But more importantly, Todd, how are you? Because if there's one thing I missed in my life, it was your railing against the direction of video and just overall cinematography that I'm sure once you saw the Formula One movie, like, I wish actual Formula One racing could be this awesome. Because I know you were probably the biggest fan of the Formula One movie in my life.
Yeah, I know, definitely big fan. Watched it several times. Actually, I've watched it several times just because we now have Apple TV, thanks to the mega deal. Like, I had to sign up for Apple TV, so I was like, all right, I've been putting this off, waiting for the free trial, whatever. But now, yeah, we got it, so I did watch it again, and...
It holds up. You know? I mean, if you have no logic associated with it, it's a really good time.
But yeah, it's a fine movie if you don't care about realism or racing or acting or racing or Brad Pitt.
So is this, since I haven't seen it, is this like, where does this rank on like the, you know...
The Rush scale. Like, is it Rush?
Like the Rush scale.
What was that one with Sylvester Stallone? Was that Driven?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, well, you can't... I don't like the fact that you implied just with your tone that Driven was at the bottom of that scale, because we all know that's number one.
Come back to us.
What happened?
There we go.
You're back.
Oh, God.
Run that back, Todd. Sorry. Cut out.
Yeah, I'm having... I swear there's something in the stars that we're just not supposed to record this episode tonight, because... As I was explaining to my co-host in the beginning of the show, I managed to break all of my computer equipment just by changing from my work computer to my personal computer, and now nothing works. So if I just disappear, it was good to talk to you both, you know? We'll do it again in a year.
Here's the thing. If this is truly one and done for us for this season, great. But my personal mission then will be to come up with topics I know are going to get you out of retirement. Like, this is me being Scottie Pippen, putting my foot up on camera, pointing to the Jumpman insignia and doing this. But instead, it's the undefeated logo on a hat.
Okay. Sorry, where the hell was
Rush.
I? In the,
on the Rush.
You were, yeah. Rush, okay. Yeah. I take issue with Rohit implying that Rush was the top of that scale and Driven was the bottom of that scale, because we know that Driven is peak. It's like just below Talladega Nights in terms of authentic racing grittiness.
So I would say this. Formula One literally splits the difference between Rush and Driven. Like, it has the best of both of those movies and it has the worst of both those movies. And that's why I think it's the best racing movie I've seen in this century.
All right. Century. Wow. That's a bold statement.
It is.
That was hot take number one.
All right. So the next episode.
Nick, how the hell have you been? What have you been doing?
Me?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just surviving, man. America in 2026. I'm like waiting for friends that are in the military to text back, hoping they're okay. You know, dumb shit that we shouldn't have to be dealing with. But I personally am totally okay. I'm alive. I'm a little overweight, but relatively healthy. I'm excited to have Formula
There's
One.
There's more of you to love.
Distraction.
There's more of you to love. There's more of you to love, first of all.
And I've been an Apple TV guy for a long time, so I'm all in on this season's Apple TV coverage.
And you have zero excuse to not have watched the F1 movie, because it's been on there for like a year.
Yeah, my parents watched it like within the first couple of weeks and said, you got to watch this. And I still haven't watched it. Like, literally every time I've started to, it's like 2.5 hours. Will I sit here for 2.5 hours to watch this?
You will. You will.
Probably not.
You will. You just need a big batch of edibles, cheesecake.
giant bowl of popcorn.
Giant bowl of popcorn. Something to measure your blood sugar based on the diet I just gave you. So, yeah, it'll be fine.
Right. No, I mean, I do want to watch it. And, like, I literally have, like, almost watched it probably 50 times now. Like, even just, like, 2 days ago, I, like, almost put it on. Cam's sitting on the couch next to me, and she's like, well, you have a week since the season doesn't start till next weekend. And it's like, yeah, you're right. I can watch it at some point before then. Not that it has anything to do with the actual Formula One season. Plus, now I have the whole season of Drive to Survive to watch because it's on Apple TV all at once. So, I mean, I never finished last season's Drive to Survive either. Am I even a Formula One fan at this point? Like, I don't even...
You're a bigger fan than me because I haven't watched Drive to Survive, and I used to be the biggest proponent of it on this here podcast. And now it's just like, I don't need it. The actual races are far more dramatic than anything they can come up with. Although I am intrigued by the arc of one Christian Horner based on the trailer I saw, because it seems like he is a man with no team. If there's one person that's going to turn around Aston Martin and keep Fernando Alonso in the sport, it's one Christian Josephine Horner, AKA Management Spice.
AKA Thumb Dick.
Allegedly.
Oh, not allegedly.
I mean, that could be an interesting twist. Please.
It's only fair you send me that because I've seen more of a Driver's Anatomy since I've been friends with you, Todd, than I have anything else.
But I like to.
Is that how he applies for the job?
Is this doing anything for you? He just shows a dick pic. Oh, God.
Unsolicited dick pics as an application for your role at Aston Martin.
Just texting Lawrence Stroll.
There you go. If there's ever an untapped LinkedIn market, it's unsolicited dick pics.
No, I don't want to bring it up really, but I think we have to because I think it would be hilarious. Like, that should actually be like a what is it, Poly Market or Kalshi, the betting. I'm anti-betting, but it would be hilarious if is there an over-under on number of dick pics from Christian Horner this season?
I totally thought you were going a completely different direction with the over-under, like 6.5, let's just say. We're never going to get another episode again.
We might get canceled, but this is a good way to go out.
Yeah.
It is, it is. Yeah, we are probably going to have some variation in the show. I've just been wanting to talk to people like these guys about Formula One, but I figured
these maybe guys.
If we don't have the three of us all together at the same time, which was always the challenge, maybe we're just doing like individual interviews at times and connecting with other fans of Formula One so we can kind of give a little bit bigger of a mix. And then hopefully we can still find our ways to get, you know, every month or two or whatever, coming back together and, you know, doing an episode to kind of catch up and debrief on previous races and stuff. But yeah, we'll see. I also don't know, like, one of the things I was going to ask you, Todd, because the Drive to Survive thing is really interesting, right? Like, being fans before and like watching fans come into the sport, and obviously the sport is so much more, you know, of a part of American culture now than it has been since, you know, probably ever by numbers. But I would say that like there was eras in the 2000s where like people cared about it to that level, for at least in my experience. But if you're like not watching Drive to Survive, if the goal of Drive to Survive is like the funnel into the sport, mm-hmm. then like what, how do other forms of racing ever grow without those crazy shows? And then what happens if the shows go off? Like if Drive to Survive goes away, do people just stop watching Formula One, or do people actually graduate into being, you know, the thing that I think about is like, you've got to be awake at like 3 or 4 in the morning on some race weekends if you want to watch it live. And that's part of the fun for me, is like the best races are the races that I know that somebody in the Discord or you guys are going to be up and I'm texting or chatting with people while I'm watching it. Right. And I don't see that, you know, like, I don't know. I'm not watching NASCAR either, but maybe I'm missing out on something on that side of things too. I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, go ahead, Todd.
No, I was just going to say you're not missing out on NASCAR.
I think you are, like, because the sneaker. Yeah, I was going to say exactly that. The sneakerhead revolution. Like, we're finally making it to the four wheels. Like, NASCAR dads now include sneaker NASCAR dads because he's won 3 in a row. And the thing is, if we thought Drive to Survive had a cult of personality, it's still nothing against what is, I guess, what we'd now consider the original Black Mamba. If you listen to the sneaker history episode recently, there's your tie-in, Nick. But yeah, I am going to be patient zero because I got into the sport because of Drive to Survive. Haven't watched it in years. Don't really want to watch it because, like we said, truth is stranger than fiction sometimes. And for as great as they've dolled up certain, let's say, mundane seasons of the sport, they also lucked out because I think they couldn't top the Lewis Max episode or season from a couple of years ago, because that truly was the sports apex. And I would really love to see, because I haven't seen the article that's been written in a couple of years now of, hey, Drive to Survive has unlocked yet another new level of viewers, because I think even that's kind of cooled off in a sense. But the thing is, for most people that stuck with it, they are now true believers and they're here for the majority of the sport.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting what this year specifically does because of the switch to Apple TV, and they already had a huge user base, and it's not anything extra for, at least that I know of, it's not anything extra for people to sign up for to have F1 TV.
No, it's all like a part of it, right? So like last year I didn't pay for F1 TV because I was just going to do the ESPN thing, which sucks. Like, ESPN is just horrible about everything. You don't get choices. You don't get like enough camera angles and options and all that stuff. But even just the broadcast itself is like
rough.
Pushed me away from the sport in a way, I guess. But with Apple TV, I'm expecting it to be like, someone who's watched a bunch of Apple TV shows, like it's by far my most like watched subscription of the 3, 4, 5 that we have across platforms. For the quality of content, and I expect it to be pretty high with Formula One. So
Nick, you're a baseball guy. Have you watched any of their MLB coverage in Apple TV? Because that's the thing. I'm not a big baseball guy. As much of a soccer fan as I am, I'm not really an MLS guy. So I haven't been able to kind of judge them for their sporting candor, so to speak, in terms of how they display the show. Like, is it something that you as a baseball fan have at least appreciated their coverage? Or it's to the point where it's at least not a sore thumb the way ESPN was?
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. The thing with baseball that's hard for me to separate myself, because I watch mostly the Giants games, so I'm used to those announcers. So like watching other teams, like if I don't know the announcers from the local market and I'm trying to watch it on like a MLB or something, like the generic, not generic's not the right term, but then like national broadcasters, right? The Joe Bucks of the world, like they are not really like, I'm not really a fan. But Apple TV has had a pretty good mix of like commentary with their baseball coverage. And actually, like speaking of the MLS, like I probably watched like 15 or so matches last year. Like I watched all the playoffs, the finals. Like I kind of got into it at the end of the season.
Nice.
Mainly because it was on Apple TV, which, you know, I've watched MLS a little bit here and there off and on, and I usually watch the finals or at least a couple of playoff matches. But I think Apple TV like definitely made it better for me in terms of like watching both of them for teams that I wouldn't normally pay attention to.
I don't know if you're going back to your original question, Nick.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You asked about like, how does other motorsports break into like the cultural zeitgeist like F1 has with Drive to Survive? I'm surprised that there hasn't been a copycat yet. There's like been some inklings, and there's been some like mini series I've seen and some like documentary type stuff, but I'm surprised that there hasn't been like that. At least the company that's doing Drive to Survive, the Box to Box Films, that they haven't like been tried to do a spinoff with NASCAR or IndyCar or WEC or like just even like Le Mans, like doing a mini series on Le Mans specifically, which is like the biggest, I would guess the biggest race globally, right? There's like, seems like every country has like fans or whatever, like a fan base that's about Le Mans. So I'm surprised that that hasn't happened yet. But like, I also like, kind of on the same page with you guys, I haven't watched this year's Drive to Survive just because I haven't had the interest to, I guess, because like Rohit kind of pointed out, the season was dramatic enough last year. Like we had the ups and downs. We had Piastri surging ahead, then we had Lando coming back, and then Max was in the mix at the end, and it came down to the last race, whoever was going to win the championship, right? So like that was enough drama. And I think besides the Lewis-Max showdown, like some of the other years really helped by like them crafting narratives. Like they made Mazepin like a weatherman, right? Like they had like, granted that was funny and kind of came off more comical than serious, but like they crafted a story around that to help maybe some like bad parts of the seasons.
Yeah,
and we didn't really need that last year, so I don't know. Maybe that's why my interest personally hasn't been like, oh, I have to watch that right now. I'm sure I will at some point, but
yeah.
And then I was just gonna say, it's not only that. For most of the seasons that were dry in terms of on-track stuff, that's when I felt Drive to Survive focused more on the fantasy fiction aspect of the sport, which was a lot of the episodes are predicated on driver movement, on, what is it, principal movement. There was no real attention being paid to the race themselves because of the fact that everybody was in a contract year. And one of the things that we always say on this particular podcast is, hey, your contract is worth its weight in paper, and it's only worth the paper it's written on. So like, that's where I think it started to kind of regress to the mean in terms of it became a little bit more of an American sport, because right now American sporting culture seems to be focused more on the possibility of something happening than the actual execution of games.
Yeah, I think that's a interesting point, because you know, it's obviously hard to top the Max and Lewis battle. And then, you know, I've talked about it too, like it's hard to watch I think for a casual fan, it's hard to watch any team dominate for a length of time, right? Like whether you're talking about, you know, Red Bull or Lewis or whatever, like when you know that you know, Max is going to win for, you know, 4 years straight, you kind of check out, right? As a casual fan, like we might care about the midfield and the runner up and all these other people on the track, but a lot of fans are like focused on who's winning or, you know, their particular team only. Is it's my assumption, at least. But I think that's the interesting thing about Drive to Survive. It's like this time around for me, like I am actually curious how deep they go into the Horner thing, because like that's a like major shift in the sport to me that I would like to see more about and learn more about, which will get me to watch this season's Drive to Survive. But I do think like last year, to Todd's point, I mean, it's hard. Even if Lando doesn't win, like Lando winning is what I wanted, right? But even if Lando doesn't win, the actual season was probably one of the best seasons outside of the Max and Lewis, you know, battle in a long time. Like, and I'm not talking about just the top two battling. Like, I'm talking about, you know, the top six, seven, eight drivers were all at some point, like it felt like everybody had a little bit of a chance at all times, which is something we talked about the last time we were on the show in regards to this season, because there's so much change. There's so many changes that are coming this season with the cars, the drivers, the teams, like everything is kind of starting from scratch. I know that that's not actually how it works, but like from a fan's perspective, it feels like, you know, we're starting from scratch. Nobody knows what's going to happen, even though it's pretty obvious that Max is going to be dominant, or Max will be at the top of the, you know, with Lando and Oscar, and, you know, kind of everyone else will fall in line behind that, at least presumably. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Will he?
So I just want to know, quick over under, how many people do you think Lawrence Stroll's sacrificing right now to like conjure some blood magic to fix his car and or Adrian Newey? I mean, you know, we all saw that he had visited the island quite a few times, so we know he's down with that sort of thing. So I just wanted to know, like, if what do you guys think? Is that like 4.5, 5.5 people that he's just like taking out on a ship?
I mean, have we seen Nicholas Latifi?
Even higher. I feel like it's even higher because he's probably just annoyed with how much Fernando Alonso is bitching at him right now.
Yeah, I think this. They're clearly tanking for next year's draft pick. And I say all this because in our pre-show meeting, I had made the comment that I think it was very much a zag when everybody was expecting them to zig, because they've got arguably the greatest race car designer of all time amidst their ranks. And then they tell him, you know what? We can't have Lance be the problem anymore. So what we're going to do is we're going to make the world's shittiest car that even... So you know how we always talked about the fact that Max is the only one that can make that car great for Red Bull? I think this is the opposite. They wanted to make a car that nobody could drive. And so that's why they brought in the premier race car designer.
You need to be 4 seconds off the pace.
At least.
That's so good. Sorry, that was a terrible segue. I know, Nick, you were trying to set something else up. But
this is how we roll. I miss these kind of zigs and zags.
But we had to talk about this season at some point. And I'm glad you did, because I think I'm more excited for this year, kind of like, as you mentioned, like there's so many changes. There's team changes. There's car changes. There's like every sort of change you could. There's some regulation changes besides the car stuff. I'm so excited for this year because I feel like the first 5-6 races are going to be an absolute shit show. Number one, the starts, right? Did you guys watch any sort of the practice? Yeah. I can blanking on the word right now, but preseason stuff that when they did,
we're in preseason form, listener, don't worry about it.
Yeah. I can't even think of the word. That's awesome. But the starts were, they finally did some practice race starts at the end of the development testing. There it was. There's the word I was looking for. They have to basically sit there on the brake and rev the engine to like maximum for 20 seconds to get the turbo spooled up now that they lost the MGUK or MGUH, sorry. And it's ridiculous. They have to, like, imagine sitting at a red light, one foot on the brake, other one stamped on the gas as hard as you can go, just for 20 seconds at a red light, just for, like, you would look like an insane person. That's basically what they have to do to start the cars now.
So the Mario Kart over rev?
Yeah. But, like, think of it when you do it too much and then you just spin out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That was a good impersonation of that sound effect. I can't wait for the race start in Melbourne specifically because of that. Because the only team, believe it or not, that looks like they can do a competent race start is Ferrari because they have a smaller turbo. And everyone else is going to crawl into a snail's pace. Some people might get decent starts. I guarantee in the first few races of this year, we're going to see somebody crash into the back of somebody else because they don't go at all and somebody else gets a good start. It's going to be magical. I don't want anybody to be hurt. I just want to see ridiculous race starts.
Give me the prediction. If you're going to give me a blind item like that, I need names, Todd.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to go what you think, and I'd say Lance Stroll is going to crash in the back of somebody.
How can you when you're the 20th driver?
Well, he might be 22nd, actually.
Oh, that's true. I forgot.
Remember, we have 11 teams now. I'm going to go with the newbie, Arvin Lindblad. Arvin Lindblad. I'm going to say he's going to crash in the back of somebody. Or
Fernando. That would be the funniest outcome.
It's going to be Lewis because the Ferrari has a really good start, and he's going to – he'll be lined up on, like, you know, third or fourth. Won't have pole, but right in the back of Max or something.
Yeah, that's going to be really interesting because you know that there's going to be guys that – I forget who I first saw. Was it I forget who like when I first was watching testing, and it might have been Nico Hülkenberg was like one of the first people to go off and stall and needed to like restart the car, and it like just was not happening, like could not like relaunch the car, and I started thinking the same thing, like this is just going to be pure chaos because the start is always chaotic anyway, mm-hmm. And now we're going to have like, you know, to your point, Lewis and Charles don't have like the overall pace, but if they can start better, they're going to either end up in the back of somebody or they're going to end up in the front of everyone pretty consistently for the first few races. So, and it's like, I don't see much of an in between. I feel like it's literally like one or the other.
So is there a possibility that somebody becomes a specialist in terms of like, they are the very best on the grid at starting their car in a way that would give them series championship consideration? Although they may not win it, but it's such a gimmick. It's like the tush push of Formula One, where it gets you just enough.
You know what that made me think of? Like, it was in, I think it was like in Turkey, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, when it was that race where Bottas like bowling balled into like five people. It was wet. Oh, you guys remember that? And Fernando went from like 20th to like 10th.
Yeah.
Because he went literally off track around the outside and just drove around all the chaos. I feel like that somebody like Rohit was saying, like, somebody's going to figure that out for this year with this like start chaos and be like, even if they don't have the pace, they'll be like second and third or third in the championship because they'll like just have amazing starts and then not fall back that far because there's, you know, like people will catch up with the faster cars, but they'll end up in like fourth or fifth for a while.
Yep.
Honestly, yeah, just, if one last
gonna,
thing.
That's what's going to happen is it's going to be Fernando, right? It's going to be Fernando that's like, he'll somehow figure it out. He'll have the worst car on the grid, but he'll end up in front of everyone for like the first lap and then slow everything down for like 20 laps before he finally falls off or the car dies and he has to retire.
Nick, you don't need to watch Formula One. You just described the second act. No, the thing I'm going to miss the most is the fact that we won't get to see Yuki react to these delayed starts and stops that you guys have so beautifully illustrated, because if there was ever a man that was meant for that occasion, it would be Japanese Cartman.
Damn. Japanese Cartman is amazing. You just made me really sad and reminded me that Yuki's not on the grid. Well, he's in the paddock, but he's not on the grid.
Where is he on the paddock? Is he a reserve driver?
He's a reserve driver for Red Bull.
For Red Bull and Racing Bulls, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess they are like, they kind of posted that they're sharing all of their development drivers, whatever.
Yeah. That just tells me Yuki is truly the most adored man on the grid, that they're like, you know what, we're going to split a race car reserve driver, because like, we can't let him go, even though we've let him go.
Yeah, man. Quick sidebar. He was just in San Francisco doing a press run in the city. They brought out one of the old like RB17s, whatever, and he lit it on fire. So cheers to him for burning the car down for after getting fired.
There's actually an amazing clip. I don't know if you saw it, where I don't know if it was on his YouTube channel or if it was on the Formula One YouTube channel, but he goes down Lombard Street, which is like, you know, the crookedest street in the world. And there's like a car that like pulled sort of into one of the driveways, and he's like, you can't park there.
Like, he says that?
Yeah.
Oh man. No, I didn't see that. Yeah, I did see a really amazing Photoshop. There was a really cool picture taken of after he lit the car on fire, he hops out and they like come in with all the like fire extinguishers and stuff, and somebody snapped a really cool pic of like him kind of standing in just the fog, and you can kind of vaguely see the city in the background. Somebody took that picture and then Photoshopped all of the rest of the teammates that Max has killed into like the fog. It's just like, it was like he was walking into heaven. It was like, yo, Yuki, join us. And it was just, it was like Kvyat and Ricardo, all Pierre, all of the teammates he's killed. It was pretty amazing.
I was getting that meme of old Master Splinter walking the young Ninja Turtles, and then they grow up. But
nope,
except Master Splinter in this case was Christian Horner.
So yeah, you guys are off the pace, to insert a pun there, with Aston Martin Racing. I think, by all accounts, everything that's happening on the twatter online, Aston Martin probably is going to do a formation lap and then like five or six racing laps and then retire, because their car is such a piece of shit. It'll break apart before it does anything else. So
I have the first wager of this particular podcast season. What will be greater, the number of laps completed by said Aston Martin in the first race, or the amount of total episodes we released this year?
Oh. I'm gonna go with
our go-to of helmet using racial slurs is no longer an option.
I'll give
right?
it time. And with the impending nuclear holocaust, I think helmet, like most of us, just feels like there's zero fucks left for any of us to have decorum. So
yeah, seriously,
he's still using racial slurs, I'm sure.
Racial slurs, ableist slurs. I'm sure he'll come up with a new type of slur that he's going to debut. He's really the Jackie Robinson of racism.
Oh, man.
Can we please make that the episode title? Oh, my God.
I do wonder, like, if we're actually going to see some of these races, though, with all the chaos that, you know.
We did an episode a couple seasons ago because there was that burgeoning crisis, and it was very fair to call it a crisis, and I forgot whether it was in Jeddah or where was it, where like the missiles were going off during
the oil fields got bombs during the race or something, or during practice.
That just happened again, by the way. It was the so Aston Martin's sponsor is Aramco, the oil company. Their facility in, I don't know if it's Jeddah or
Dubai.
No, somewhere in Saudi Arabia, I think. But it's close to the track, right? It's not. It's like 30 miles away or something. That just got bombed again, or like hit with a missile, like today or yesterday, something like that. But that just happened again. But yeah, to that point, we might not see a ton of Middle East races. I think we don't have any for the first, I want to say like six races of the season. So we've got a while to figure that out. But very strong possibility we could not have any of those races.
So much like you won the FIFA World Peace Prize, which is clearly the most prestigious award any of us ever grew in, do you think he might get the Formula One Peace Prize to go with it? And since he's going to, he who shall not be named is going to solve the Middle Eastern crisis, with sheer pluck, verve, and God knows what else is in that man's locker. Actually, I do, but if I say it, we're all going to get assassinated, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I would hope that we're past the ass-kissing portion of things now that, I don't know. I mean, he just seems to be like I don't know how we got like the worst human beings on the planet to become like the leaders of our country.
No, but the thing and maybe the bar has fallen dramatically short, but it's like, I'm surprised Formula One didn't like throw a ham-fisted way to appease him as well. Because I figured if there was one organization that was going to do it, it would be them. But to their credit, they've kind of maintained a distance with the orange one. And I'm not talking about the McLaren car.
We haven't... we haven't had a chance for them to like that interaction to take place yet, right? Because the last time it happened, it was like a rebel group, whatever, bombing the Aramco thing. But that happened like there was no previous action to that. It was just like they were already in town for the race. Like I think it was during practice or something, right? That it happened.
Yeah, right. It was.
So like we've got months leading up to at least a month plus leading up to our first Middle East race. I don't think the drivers or any of the, like the teams would go like knowing that that's going on. Right. Like I think Formula One would have to, because the teams would be allowed to like make that statement or make that gesture or posture to say like, no, we're not fucking with that. Don't you think? Like, who knows? Maybe MBS will like, be like, well, you have to because it's in your contract. Like he would absolutely kiss ass and bend the knee to Orange Man, but I don't know if the teams and drivers would.
I mean, I put it this way: what we know about Lewis Hamilton, he's definitely not going to do anything of that sort.
Yeah, but he ends up kind of being like the lone wolf on the grid when like it comes to standing up for things, right? And especially with like just how shitty things have gone, like it wouldn't surprise me if there's some sort of, I don't know. Formula One is also like not a not a shining star of morality in any way, shape, or form either. So it's kind of hard to imagine that they're going to stand for something, considering all the.
Some of them had a hard time kneeling.
That keep the sport alive.
I don't know. I think Formula One, much like a lot of things in life right now, are in a very weird spot. And I really hope that these new regulations bring us a tiny amount of joy because everything else is so dire.
Oh, if you're looking for chaos, I mean, if you were inferring bringing us chaos by that tiny amount of joy, then yes, I think we're in for that. I'm so excited for like a car to be leading and just run out of battery and fucking explode because they didn't like harvest enough or whatever. I don't know. I know it's like such a cynical way to view like the upcoming season, but like we look back, not even probably just over a decade ago, the reliability was so much worse in Formula One. Cars were breaking down left and right that we've been spoiled. Or it's almost not spoiled, but like we've been lucky in a sense that like cars are so reliable now, but also unlucky because it's made for some boring races, which if there isn't like a pace difference or a weather event or something like that, we've had a fair amount of like flag to finish, pretty boring races with Max out front or Lando out front or... even prior to that, like Lewis out front by 20 seconds. Like, so if cars start exploding or fucking breaking in half, it's going to be kind of sweet as long as people aren't getting hurt.
We've basically, based on how you've told me this, we've recreated Mario Kart. And this is the second time we've mentioned it, but that's what's going to get us through this season. Now, the question is, I know Todd's going to make the obvious, well, if there's anybody that's Waluigi on the grid, it's my boy Esteban Ocon. But give me some of your other Mario Kart and Formula One counterparts.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I would put Esteban.
Oh, I was just talking about the sheer gangliness.
No, that is a good call, but like, he's more... Man, that's... What's that wizard guy's name in Mario?
Yeah, the one who... Yeah, I don't know his name, but he's basically Jack Black's Bowser's right-hand man.
Yeah, that's who I would put as Esteban.
How dare you?
And like Yuki, if you're still on the grid, would be Bob-omb.
You think so? I thought he would be Toad.
No, man, that's hard. I mean, Leclerc would be Mario, right? Can we all agree on that?
I thought Leclerc would be Luigi because he's just an emotional wreck ready to collapse at a moment's notice.
Then who's Mario?
I don't know, but Wario is Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think we can agree on that.
That's good.
George Russell's Princess Peach.
Yeah, 100%.
I thought Magnussen would be the bomb. Anyway, listeners, if you're still listening, give us a like, rate, review, and come up with your greatest Mario Kart Formula One counterpart.
If you give us 3 reviews, we'll be back next week to do more of this ridiculousness.
For every review we get, that's how many episodes we're doing. So tread lightly, listener.
I think it's hilarious, thinking about when we started this, four seasons ago. And Todd was always the motorsport purist of the group, and now he's the one just looking for NASCAR levels of death and destruction on the grid. it's literally the what's the saying, you live long enough to become the villain or something, and Todd has become the villain of Formula One fans.
Todd version 1 died a hero a long time ago. Todd version 2 is the villain that we all need and deserve.
It's not that I want the carnage, because I think there's also a chance that there's, because of the way that they built these cars with less downforce, the tires have less contact patch, I think there's a lot of potential for good racing as well. But this whole battery, 50% battery, 50% combustion engine thing is definitely not it.
Go ahead.
No, go, Ro.
I was just going to say this.
Interject.
When is the next set of regulations going to come in?
Oh, 2030 or something. They're talking about new engines maybe.
I think we're going to get a new set of regulations by 2028 at this rate, based on how calamitous you've described all of this.
I don't know if the engineers are going to fix the things that are wrong, right? The fear is that if they do, and there is reliability and consistency, that it's going to be a lot of, because there's no more DRS, it's just going to be a lot of very predictable. Everybody uses boost at the same time. Everybody uses overtake mode at the same time to defend and or try to overtake. But while we don't have that consistency, there could be really awesome racing and that carnage. Maybe they should do a new regulation every year just to screw with the engineers. And we always have this kind of starting to a season.
It is kind of interesting to think about all of that on top of the fact that you've got new teams, obviously Audi is not really a new team, but there were so many shifts in where people are at, right? With Newey and Aston Martin and then Cadillac coming in. It's you also have so many other wild cards laid over the top of all the things you just described that makes me think it's either going to be an incredible first 5 to 7 races, and you're going to have all sorts of different people on the podium, or it's going to be Max, Lando, and Oscar on the podium all the time, and everything else is in chaos behind that.
I mean, even it's probably the big, even with all the chaos that's going on, it very much sounds like Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, McLaren are going to be Formula One, and then the rest of it's going to be Formula One B. But if it comes to pass where we have the same front of the grid we're used to, but the rest of the racing is just people taking dive bombs in weird corners that shouldn't happen, because that's throughout testing, the stuff when they were actually kind of racing other cars on track, just messing around, it was weird, and the cars were all squirrely and kind of getting sideways, and it was nuts. I'm really excited for that potentially. And if it is just the same three up front, then so be it. But as long as the rest of the racing's good, sweet.
I mean, if we're nothing else, we're a Formula One mid-table podcast and we are anything else. That's what historically our episodes are always about. Like, you can have your first, second, third conversations in every other podcast in the world. We care about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then occasionally 20, because usually that's where we get to get these Lance Stroll jokes off.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be an adjustment thinking about 22 spots on the grid versus 20, you know, like, Do we still ridicule drivers that are like 16 and below, or is it like literally we have to only talk shit about the people that have 0 points for the entire season? Like, where do we distinguish our mid-table approach to the podcast?
I guess my question is it a hot take that I think every single driver on the grid will score at least 2 points this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there it is.
So, who is not going to score points, Todd?
Why is it always me? It's like,
because you're the serious one.
It's going to be Aston Martin.
Besides Aston Martin would be how I would ask that question. Yeah. Besides Aston Martin, who else is not going to get a point?
Probably Cadillac. I think by the season's end, Aston Martin will have figured their shit out, and then Cadillac will end up last just based on finishes, but I don't think either of them are going to have points.
I don't think Alpine's going to have any points either. But this is the part of the podcast where you tell me, well, Row actually is somebody that's watched preseason. They've been dominant, but I thought last year they were pretty atrocious. Who else is there that I can poke at? Great. Nico Hülkenberg got his podium. Don't expect anything out of him this year either. Just be done with it.
I don't know. It sounds like Audi's like relatively happy with where they are. It is like that. I'm excited to see how their engine, because they've been working on that engine for years now. It's like an actual Audi's going to be a works team, and they're the only team using the Audi engine. So that's going to be really interesting. But to your point, like, it sounds like it's going to be between Alpine and Haas for like the best of the rest. So.
Yeah, Williams, because that's a driver lineup I still have the most faith in, because I do think Albon and Sainz together are head and shoulders above the rest of the midfield as a complete pairing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, but it sounds like the car came in pretty overweight into testing. So now it's going to be the first chunk of the season is just going to be trying to get down to the minimum weight. So
it's playing itself into preseason or regular season stuff, just like old Rasheed Wallace.
So is there any chance that Aston Martin is just like sandbagging beyond anybody's like thought possibilities? And they like turn it around. They're like, oh, just kidding. We're good.
But see, here's the reason why I don't think that. Because if there was a person or a driver on the grid that I could guarantee can't keep a secret, it's Fernando Alonso.
Oh, I think of George Russell when I think of not being able to keep in secrets.
Oh, no, I think like, he would be the best.
I think he's like the gossip girl of the grid.
No, I do think that might be Yuki. No, but I do think this, like, everything we've known about Fernando Alonso is he very much wears his heart on his sleeve. And let's just say he's not been a shrinking violet this offseason in terms of what his expectations of the car are. And I mean, couple that with last couple of years where we keep saying, hey, this is the year Aston Martin's going to get sold because we're going to get rid of the curse that is the Stroll family in Formula One. But I just think it's gotten to the point where he might actually retire, and that's the most jarring thing to hear about Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like a total shit show, I could see him going somewhere else. And by that I mean like some other form of racing. They were talking kind of in the preseason about Max and Seb and Fernando doing like a Le Mans team, which would be friggin' amazing.
That would probably be crazy.
They could probably
I would watch Le Mans this year if they did that.
Yeah. Max is definitely keeps hinting more and more about doing touring car stuff or like WEC, whatever. But yeah, I don't think they're sandbagging. Back to your original question, like the somehow they posted telemetry from one of the tests and they can actually track the engine RPMs. And everybody else was at like 12,000 or whatever. And
yeah, I saw this.
The Aston Martin, the Honda engine, was capped at like 8,400, like a regular road car. And they were like 4 seconds off the pace per lap. So that would
they
be
just,
like,
they just need to figure craziest. Out VTEC, man. Like, you know, I've had that same problem in the past.
Hot take for you. Aston Martin will be the first Audi Works customer for this year after those first five races, where they're just going to be like, F it. You guys got any other cars? Lawrence Stroll will buy a car off of them.
they can't give it
to Lance.
They do
when
have
is
like
that stone?
It's a 2-year deal with Honda, right? I think.
I don't even know what the deal is, but like the way that they built the car, and that's part of the reason that it's shit, is Honda's been working on this thing called the Size Zero concept engine, basically making like the most minimally packaged or size-wise engine that they could to like make the car light, make aerodynamically it fit. And apparently Adrian Newey like demanded that and said like, this is how you're going to build your engine because it has to fit in the car because I'm not going to bend on my design. You guys have to fit your shit into my car. And that's part of the reason why the engine doesn't work and the battery falls apart after like five laps.
But do you think that they in this case, Aston Martin, are doing this primarily to get Fernando Alonso off the grid so then they can give that spot to Yuki and then the prophecy is complete where you'll have Yuki in a Honda car?
I mean, I hope so, but I also wouldn't want Yuki to have Stroll as a teammate. Maybe I do, because then he would just look like a rock star all the time.
My point exactly.
God, can you imagine Yuki getting beat by Stroll, though? If it's wet, that's possible. He goes full when it's wet.
Welcome to the story of my canceled biography. If it's wet, it's possible. You missed this, listener. I know you did.
Jesus.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that one.
That's why I said canceled. Canceled biography.
I don't know why you canceled it. That's a biography I would want to read.
Look at me. You don't want to read it.
I do.
All right, so do you guys want to do the traditional prediction? So who do we think is going to win, first of all? Let's go constructors first.
I really hate to say it, but I think it's Merck.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that. I
say it, Nick. Say it.
I think it's McLaren. I honestly want it to be Ferrari, though.
I think it's going to be Ferrari. I think... If not this year, I don't know when.
I feel like it's better for the sport when Ferrari is super competitive, and I feel like it would be a good time for like close the Lewis chapter in the next season or two. Get that last championship. Team gets some credit for a win, but I also just I think it's gonna be. Basically, Lando, Max, and Oscar at the front all the time, and everyone else is going to fall in place somewhere behind.
But interesting, nobody said Red Bull.
Well, you mean for constructors? Yeah, I don't. Yeah. He until Max has cloned himself.
Yeah,
but he doesn't need to. I mean, we've already seen him single-handedly win the constructors. We just don't think that type of dominance is going to be possible. Is what I'm getting from the two of you.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of Max. Who's going to win the drivers? So let me ask you this, Todd. You said Mercedes was going to win, correct?
Yeah.
Who will score? I'm assuming George Russell is scoring the bulk of those points?
Yeah.
So sure. Then is he a top three finisher in your scenario?
In the driver standings? Yeah.
Is he a top two finisher?
I would think so. I think he gets second place, I would guess.
Okay. To Max. Okay. Nicholas?
I'm gonna say Oscar is going to be... One, Max two, Lando three.
And Lando he's won it once and that's more than enough for him, which seems apropos.
But I'm probably going to be like a pretty diehard Lewis fan for the next season or two just to hope that he gets that final place of his own with that eighth title.
I would like to see Lewis. I'm going to just go for sentimentality. I think Ferrari's going to do it. I think Lewis is going to win because if nothing else, I need to justify buying that Lego helmet set of his that's going to come out pretty soon.
Also, if he wins, does that erase all of the Kardashian curse conversation that's happened for the existence of the Kardashians?
That's a good point. I didn't consider that into my decision making, but... See, sad to say, you think so? I don't think she's going to make it to midseason. I think he's going to get his head on straight. And at best, she might be at Monaco cheering him on from the pit side. But that's about it. I don't think we're going to get that much of a Kim-like infestation this year.
She's going to break that, man. I'm sorry to say it. I'm calling it now. The Kardashian curse is real. He's screwed. He will be probably out of Formula One once this deal is up.
In terms of a Kanye West type fall off, are we going to see that severe of a drop off, or is it?
No, he's not going to turn into a Nazi, if that's what you're asking.
Okay,
that's good.
How about being bipolar?
Nah,
we shouldn't. Nah, let's not make light of such things. I feel bad. That's where I'll draw the line.
We've had the opportunity to draw the line about 50 different places in this episode. We finally found it.
Yeah. Okay, a couple more for you. I was going to say surprise podium, but how about just surprise team or surprise driver? Either way.
I'm going to go the opposite of Todd and say that I think Cadillac is going to pull some miraculous thing out at some point during the season and have, I don't know if they'll get a podium, but I think they'll have like a couple of strong performances by halfway through the season that we will be surprised by.
I think it's going to be they get one race where both cars are in the points, like an eighth and a tenth. And it's going to be the exact representation of that meme with that guy celebrating and biting his medal and spraying champagne. And then it zooms out and he's actually in third. It's going to be like an America fuck yeah moment. And they're going to be like eighth and tenth, and they're going to act like they won the driver's championship.
They're going to pull a Ford versus Ferrari and make them all drive across the line at the same time.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with Ollie Bearman. We haven't really heard much from the rookie class of last year in terms of their participation in this episode, but I think he's going to build on his season last year and, dare I say, retire Esteban Ocon.
Oh, what? You talking smack about Ratatouille? What is this? Nah.
Well, desperate time call for desperate measures. We're on the brink of nuclear war.
Yeah, surprise team. I'm going to go with I'm going to go with Alpine again. I don't think they're going to be like knocking it out of the park or anything, but I could see a couple of like top 6 finishes at least for Pierre in the Alpine. And I think they'll be because of that fighting Haas for best of the rest.
Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Do you have any predictions, Ro?
About
surprises?
Oh, I think Bearman being really well. The other thing is Albon now the... No, Albon won podiums when he was in Red Bull, right? Because I'm trying to figure out who's the next Nico Hulkenberg type figure where universally admired by everybody but hasn't really been able to convert it to a podium finish, which we clearly consider to be the gold standard of a good driver in Formula One.
Yeah, we don't really have anybody on the grid that's like that at this point, right?
I was going to say...
Young guys. Two
tenured.
Everybody's either a second year or younger or won at least one race, which is crazy to me because I imagine that's not the usual distribution of championships or not championships, race winners on a grid because it's Lando, Oscar, Max, Hadjar hasn't won. Maybe Hadjar is the closest we're going to see to a new podium placer. Or did he place on a podium last year? I can't even remember.
I don't think he's had a podium yet.
He had a couple of strong performances, but I think that's a good call for like a dark horse type of team, though. I think the RBs, Team V-Carb, Beef and Cheddar.
AKA, we have the meats.
We have the meats. I think that's a good call because I think Lawson, actually, he's back in the team now. He performed pretty well when he was in that car.
Yes, he did.
And who's it's
Arvid
Lindblad, who is by all accounts like a pretty promising young rookie. I think they might be like surprising some folks. It looked like their car was decent, I guess. I don't know, better than like Caddy and Aston Martin and maybe Audi. So they might have a couple of surprise. Maybe your boy Arvid has a surprise podium this year.
I think all my OnlyFans nicknames I'm going to donate to him if and when he gets a podium this year. No, but I mean, I guess the other question I have, and kind of tongue firmly planted in cheek, when do we see the Yuki stimulus package arrive in Formula One? Because I don't think all four of these drivers are going to make it to the end of the season in the greater Red Bull family.
Mm. Yeah, but who goes? They just put in Hadjar in the Red Bull seat. I think they're past doing the, like, the
are they
thumb dick, you're out mid-season type of thing. Or Dr. Evil, whoever made that call.
By the way, who is the new principal of Red Bull?
I can't even remember. Was it Christian Horner that made that call?
They never said for sure, but I, like, by all accounts, it was Dr. Evil.
Yeah, so there might be some stabilization there at Red Bull.
Laurent Mercier is the team principal of Red Bull now. He came from Red Bull Race, V-Carb, whatever.
Yep. I mean, I think Hadjar is probably mentally tougher just because he's already been through so much shit, too, compared to...
He looks like a goon.
Yeah, but he's French, so...
Well, I mean...
In the words of Jeremy Clarkson, he's a cheese-eating surrender monkey.
First of all, let me tell you, it was The Simpsons that came up with that before Jeremy Clarkson co-opted it.
Wow.
And second of all, do not say that to your French coworker, because you will get asked to talk to HR. Not that I know from experience.
Man. All right, let's wrap on one final prediction for all three of us. How many different drivers will win a race this year?
Yeah. Let's count them out. So Max, Lando, Oscar, those are the nailed on. I would be very surprised if any of these guys don't win at least one. Georgie, let's go to Lewis. Do we want to? I need to see it. I don't think Lewis is going to do it.
Chuck.
I said Lewis is going to win the test. Yeah, Lewis is going to do it. Sorry. It's been a hard time for all of us. Charles, Chucky, Kimi, what are we thinking? That's the other one I'm very interested to see how he gets on this year. So that's seven.
I think Kimi wins a race this year.
Seven?
That's a lot.
And anybody in the...
also...
Mm-hmm, go.
No, I would also say seven, but I'm taking Lewis off that list, and the other person would be... We always have, like, one
wild
surprise card race winner, like Ocon, Gasly, things like that. So I think it's going to be seven, but one of them will be, like, the first-time race winner type of situation.
Is it a bridge too far for Nico? He got his podium.
God, that would be sick.
That would be. How many races do we have this year?
24, I think, again.
Give or take a handful for however long this stupid-ass war goes.
Not counting sprints. Yeah, I mean, obviously, that could be cut down by a fair amount if this thing...
Conflict does not resolve itself. Let's leave it at that.
So I would throw, like, one more wild card in there with my seven.
Do it. Do it.
An absolute, like, this is like the lottery ticket with the bonus number that never happens.
And why is it Lance Stroll?
Carlos Sainz just has, like, an incredible run at some point and gets a win.
I would like to see that. I'm almost leaning that maybe Albon gets... Did Albon get a podium last year? I know Sainz did, no?
It didn't rain enough for Albon to get a podium last year.
Another wet all-star, if we've seen one.